hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I am back from the Maldives, here with Bill the Producer, and here to reflect and rub in my adventure that was halfway around the planet from where we stand today to Bill and anyone else who was not with us.
Yeah, I'm still here from not having gone to the Maldives.
Yes. But I'm here to do this face-to-face to explain to you what you missed, what you should have, you know, and you could, I don't know if you did, but you could have listened to the show last week.
That we broadcast
from the deck of the Carpe Vita liveaboard. And once again, we got to thank Agnes and the crew there from Explore Ventures for hosting just an awesome adventure. Great, great time with the cowboy, mermaid Tiffany and Lizzie. Their first times in the Maldives, but I got to tell you, it was great. We had whale shark encounters that were just amazing. The first batch of pictures from the adventure have just been posted to scubaradio.com, and I want to tell you a little bit about these photos because, you know, this was a unique thing for me because we had teamed up with the folks from GoPro and Light and Motion camera lights, underwater lights, and I used a brand new setup that I was not familiar with, other than preparing everything as much as I could before we went, and I took this camera system, which was just one of those little GoPros. I had a Black Edition GoPro camera in its stock housing, with the LED backpack on the back of it, which is an option you can purchase, so you can actually see what you're filming. If you don't, you're pretty much guessing.
Okay.
You know, so I did get the backpack, and I had two Sola Light and Motion lights. And I got to tell you, these lights are phenomenal. Unbelievable difference of what these lights would make, make the photos look like, especially underwater during the daylight, during the daytime, which typically I don't use lights
right
during the day. But I had a Sola 1200 and a Sola 2000. The Sola 2000 from Light and Motion, that thing is like the sun. I'm telling you, it is blindingly bright. But I'm telling you, you get underwater there in the Maldives, and a lot of the conditions that we had, we did have some plankton blooms going on and some things like that that kind of limited visibility, but which also brought in the whale sharks. But because of that, cloudiness in the water, that would obviously take a lot of your color away when you're trying to shoot underwater pictures and video. But, man, I flip on that light from Light Motion, and it just lit up the entire landscape, even with some panoramic things. Or if I was, like, even 5 to 10 feet away from a coral wall or something like that, I could still bring the colors out and get some great shots. Now, the pictures that I took that have just been posted at scubaradio.com, there's about 80 photos that I took. Scuba Cowboy, there's some of the shots that he got as well. They were taken with a still setting from the GoPro Black Edition, which does like 12 megapixel still shots. These GoPro cameras aren't really, I don't think they're really made to shoot still photos per se. Maybe somewhat, but they're really for the video. But I got to say, what I got just on the stills, I was happy with. And, you learn how to use a new camera and how to to maximize the colors and things like that. I had this Polar Pro filter on the front of the GoPro as well when I was not using the light and motion lights, and that would bring out some of the colors as well. But I'm telling you, when you took the filter off and just shot with the lights, if I was with, you know, like I said, I could go up to almost as far as 10 feet away from the camera and use the lights and have them make a big difference on what I was able to capture on the stills. And when you're shooting up under a ledge or something like that, man, you could bring out some awesome colors. And like I said, the proof is right there on the pictures.
Yeah, you got to see these pictures because they are awesome. And I asked you about them because the colors are really remarkable. I think the colors are amazing.
Yeah. Well, there's the colors there in the Maldives. You got great subjects to work with. But when you can light it up with those solo lights from Light and Motion, then it really brings them out. Almost like when you're on a night dive. I mean, that was where it was kind of interesting because, you know, we'd be down, say, like 50, 60 feet, which is deep enough where you'd want to use your filter.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just for giggles, I would like, well, let me take the filter off and shoot with the lights instead if I could get close enough to my subject. And, man, I just like, wow, the lights are just bringing out the colors just like on a night dive or something. Mm-hmm. And you really get that saturated color of what the reef really looks like and that kind of thing. So anyway, check them out. It's the lightest and smallest video still setup I have ever traveled with. And I got to say, I'm very happy with what my first attempt. And these were just the stills. Now, the video that I got from the GoPros, I haven't even delved into it yet, but I know we got some amazing footage because we had some real close encounters with some whale sharks. And that is next on the list to capture. And of course, I can just take frames from the GoPro video and use those as stills, too. So I'm pretty excited about what I got. But check it out there at scubaradio.com. And you can see those photos that we've posted so far with more to come, including a video. We've got 150 gigabyte worth of material to go through. Yeah, it's going to take a while to get through this.
I'm interested to see what the difference is between the stills from the video and the actual pictures you took. Because
yeah,
the pictures really do look good.
Yeah, and we did shoot very high-end video for the GoPros. Like, I think it's 2,700. It's like from their, on the resolution, I want to say it's like the third setting lower, you know, lowest from their highest setting, which is 4K. The new TVs that do 4,000.
Right.
Which, you know, costs like 10 grand or something right now still.
Your eyes are too old for a 4K TV.
Exactly. So
you're,
I was like,
you're not
going
to be able to see the definition that's available on your television.
Right. So I went, I brought it down a notch or two instead of shooting the super high end. And just to see what I could get. But I know we got some great footage and some fun footage, too. We did our own little Harlem Shake video with everybody on board.
Very nice.
Will be fun.
Okay.
And easily used to blackmail anybody that was on that trip with us.
Excellent.
So it'll be fun indeed. So once again, that's at scubaradio.com. You didn't make it? Look, you could join us in St. Kitts and Saba in January 18th, that we do our next Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise with Explore Ventures. Just dial up 800-322-3577 and book it today. We got our friends from Dive Training on board. They're going to try to shoot a cover for Dive Training Magazine that week. We got Scuba Pro on board. They're going to have demos and maybe a few giveaways as well. So join us. You know, it's all right there at the website and at exploreventures.com. All right, so we're going to, you know, I'm going to talk about a bunch of stuff that we have, you know, to reflect on what we did there in the Maldives. Because, you know, when we actually did the show, we have more stuff to cover or to discuss after we were done recording. But, you know, we're going to work in a bunch of stuff throughout the day. But first, let's get Robert here before the break. Robert, welcome to Scuba Radio. I know you've dialed up 888-88-SCUBA. You have a question or comment or what? What's going on?
Yeah, I do. I have a question. I forget my dive tables that
yes.
I got for Patty.
Right.
How come they quit at 140?
Well, because that's a recreational dive limit. You know, they don't really want you to go past that. Once you get down to that deep, especially as a beginner diver, your bottom time is limited because of decompression sickness to a point where you go down to 140 feet on air, you're going to
have to turn around and come back.
Right. You're going to be doing a bounce dive. You might be able to stay down for a minute or two before you get into decompression diving, which is not recreational diving. So 140 feet is the recreational dive limit. That's why the tables go down there. It's practical.
If you're going to be down, at that limit, you're probably going to want to be doing some TriMix stuff, which is not beginner diving.
Well,
not dive table stuff.
Exactly. TriMix, you know, it's even too deep for Nitrox. So, it's a technical limit. And, you know, obviously you can get training to go way beyond that if you want. But once you get down past, 70, 80 feet, you start using losing so much light. You're going down for different purposes, you know, to explore wrecks and things and maybe to boldly go where no man has gone before or woman. Yeah, something like that. All right, more coming up.
Thank you, Scott.
Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry. And at an affordable price, go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
All right, by the way, on my way over to the Maldives, did you see these photos of us on the elephants, Bill?
I did see pictures of you on the elephants. What I did not get to find out was if you had any tea while you were in Sri Lanka.
No. They
you didn't
have
even
it for
drink
sale.
Tea.
We were only there for 12 hours. And I guess that's enough time for tea.
It's more than enough time for tea.
But we had elephants to ride. And, you know,
The elephants drink tea.
They might have, but yeah. Have you ever been on an elephant and trying to hold a teacup while you're on an elephant?
Trying to stay on top of
an elephant is enough of a challenge. Trust me.
Yeah, you got to do some stretches before, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I feel like I violated Mermaid Tiffany there because I literally held on to her for dear life.
I will give you a little secret.
What's that?
Based on the emails I've read, she feels the same way.
What? That she was violated?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it is not good.
We got sprayed. Did you see that?
I did not see you getting sprayed.
They put me on this elephant. It's my 50th birthday, and these guys, that are taking us on a little tour of Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka, tomato.
I don't know. Anyway, we cruise around, and we come up to this area for some, like, souvenirs and things.
Yes.
Right? And I'm thinking, all right, this is cool.
Let the elephant go window shopping for
you? Yeah, well, no, they said it's right next to the elephant reserve. And sure enough, this parade of probably 30, 40 elephants walks down the street. It was amazing. And then we kind of checked him out, and they said, hey, why don't you come over here? We can put you on one. Oh, I don't have time. I don't have any money. How much money you got? Well, I only got this much in Sri Lanka. Oh, no, we'll take it. Here, it's your birthday.
I'm like, hey, it's your birthday.
So they put us on this thing, and I'm like, this doesn't really seem safe. You know? I mean, and it's like, you know, is there a saddle? Or no, there's just a, you know, a mat.
There was a mat?
There was a mat.
Because their skin is a little rough, isn't it? The hair on the
yeah
on the back
I,
of an
I don't know I mean
you didn't notice because you had the mat
exactly they threw this mat on and Tiffany gets on I get on and literally there's nothing holding you on to this thing you know it's like
and it's wide
it is really wide
yes you got to do some stretches
got to do well if you don't you'll be talking an octave or two higher when you get off which is basically what happened.
Nice.
For me, but it was a blast. But when they walked us down to the river on the top of this elephant and had the elephant, you know, take his trunk down there and he sprayed me.
Nice.
You know, Tiffany leaned forward and, you know, and of course
I just. So is this something Tiffany and the elephant worked out on their own?
Well, no, it didn't really work out in her favor because I leaned forward as well. So it did get me, but. You know, all the stuff that hit me basically dripped off onto her.
Nice.
So she got. Excellent. She got sprayed and neutered disease.
Now
well.
What?
I mean, sprayed. Yeah. Anyway, it was a good time. Just one of those little adventures that you could do on your trip to the Maldives.
Great pictures posted at scubaradio.com. And I believe there's also a link on the Scuba Radio
Facebook.
Fan page on Facebook.
Absolutely. Yeah. Scuba and Radio. So just so to clarify, and we talked about this last week, I had a route that took me to New York City. Where we saw Letterman. I saw David Letterman, which was awesome, by the way.
In real life, is the gap between his teeth frightening?
You know, you could drive a truck through that thing.
It's a little scary on my TV.
But it's still, you know, I just look the other
way.
Second row.
Second row. Now, have you heard from anybody that you could be seen in the audience? Because I didn't see you.
I DVR'd it, and I was really, really small.
Was Steve Martin there?
Yeah. No, there was a shot at the opening of the show where they showed the audience, and you know, it was like for a split second, but I was, you know, way in the background. You wouldn't have picked me out.
You knew where you were. So
I knew where I
was. Find me.
And that's all that matters.
And the folks,
I was on David Letterman. So there.
And the folks from Kentucky Fried Chicken are going to find you too,
right?
And I'll probably sue you for copyright infringement.
What do you mean?
You look like Colonel Sanders, but go on.
No, I look like Uncle Sam. We covered that last week on the show.
I know you think that, but you're wrong. Go on.
Okay, anyway, so saw Letterman in New York and then hopped on our Emirates flight that went to Dubai.
Yes.
And then we had a 19-hour layover in Dubai. And then
we sleep at all in Dubai?
No.
I didn't think so.
I walked around in a zombie state for 19 hours.
I don't think Dubai is actually a zombie state.
Well,
I think West Virginia is a zombie state.
Well, I'll tell you. It was kind of hazy. All I remember on that trip over, because I didn't sleep.
Dusty, dirty.
Yeah, it was not good. And God bless them in Dubai. But on the way over, I was like, boy, this place blows. And I wanted out of there. But after, you know, coming back, we came back through Dubai.
You weren't quite as exhausted.
Exactly. We were there in the evening. It was
you
nice.
You weren't as close to 50.
Yeah, maybe that was part of it, too. But so, the I don't know, the trip over was weird, because Emirates had us going to Dubai for 19 hours. Then we had to hop on the plane to go to Sri Lanka.
Yes.
And then we were there for 12 hours. And then we went to Mali, where you launch, you know, get onto the boat in the Maldives.
You're just flying back and forth across the Indian Ocean.
Yeah. And I don't know why.
Because Dubai to Sri Lanka is not a short flight, is it? 3 hours, maybe?
It's four. It was like 4 hours, and then it would be like a couple hours
from Sri Lanka. Yeah, I'm measuring long flights.
Yeah.
From New York to Dubai is a long flight, I guess. Huh?
Well, anyway.
Everything's shorter than that.
For whatever reason, they had us routed that way on the way over, which was kind of annoying because we could have taken a direct flight from Dubai to Mali, but they wouldn't give me that flight for whatever reason. There weren't, you know, and I talked to the people there. We got to Dubai. I said, look, there's not all, you got empty seats. Can you put us on this flight? No, we can't do this. The computer says no. You know, unless
we
want to pay.
Did they
say it like that? Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. They just wouldn't change the rules without us paying, like, you know, an ungodly amount to change the ticket.
Gotcha.
So we had to do that route, but it ended up Sri Lanka ended up being a much better layover. We did the elephant thing and just drove around and saw the,
Did you sleep in Sri Lanka at all?
No, But
did you sleep anywhere?
On the way over, I didn't sleep hardly at all. But I did take showers in the airports. I got my lounge access. However, Pup and the girls didn't. They didn't want to pay the $25 or whatever it would cost to get shower access. I have a few extra benefits because of all my travel, and I was able to get into these. Took two showers on the way over. So I came into Mali on my birthday.
Smelling like roses.
Yeah, and everyone else smelled like, well, the...
The opposite of roses,
exactly.
Whatever that is.
Woo! And they were hurt. But yeah, you know, so it was a little rough on the way over, but on the way back, it was good. Went straight to Dubai, had a 13-hour layover, but got there in the afternoon, hung out. They put us up in a hotel, the airline did. And then we went out in the evening and went to the world's largest mall, where they have this big Bellagio-type fountain.
The world's largest mall isn't in Mali. That's weird.
No.
You would have thought.
No, it's not.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's in Dubai. And then they got the world's tallest building. We, you know, yes. Saw all that stuff. So it's a neat skyline, a neat place to visit in the evening. Highly recommended when the sun isn't out for Dubai.
Wow.
Just my 2 cents. Yeah. But, you know, that was just some of the added benefit of going to Mali. Now, we'll talk about some of the other stuff we did on the boat, including some other products that I put to the test that I give 2 fins up. I'll tell you what those were next. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
Underwater in the Maldives, I put a couple products to the test. I've already mentioned those light motion solo lights. I have never seen anything that works so well. Matter of fact, the people on the Carpe Vita liveaboard, their Explore Ventures, they actually had solo lights from Light Motion as their night lights that they offered everybody for the night dives, which is impressive because these aren't cheap dive lights. These are really, really nice, but they like them so much because they held up over time and have worked really well. But another product that this was actually the first opportunity to put this stuff to the test was this new mast defogger I mentioned a couple months ago from Undersea. That's Under S-E-E. And I think it's undersea.com, or you can just Google it. However, these guys have created a mast defogger that can be applied underwater. Now, they had two versions of it. They had like a an applicator that you could put in the mask to before you dive. It was almost like a shoe polish applicator. It had a little sponge on the top of it, and you rub that into your mask before your dive, like a typical defog.
Can I tell you how old you are if you know what shoe polish is?
Yeah, well, sure. And I used that, and I had a brand new mask from Prescription Dive Masks, which that's the other product we're going to talk about in just a bit.
Right.
But I used it because I had this brand new mask, and I knew I was going to have some fogging problems. We get a new mask, it's almost guaranteed that thing's going to fog up. Right. It worked pretty good, but even for a new mask, after I'd get into the dive, it would start to fog up a little bit. So now they got these little wet nap packs that you could actually apply underwater after it does. You take your mask off, you open up the pack, you rub it around in there, clear the mask, put it back on, clear your mask, and you're good to go. And I'll be damned if this stuff didn't work.
That is super
really
cool.
Well,
I need some of those.
Yeah,
I need some of those for my dive gear.
And I gotta say, you know, when if you're halfway through a dive and your mask starts fogging up, nothing can be worse. Yeah, it's just irritating as can be. And so I got to give these undersea, underwater mast defogger applicators, definitely 2 fins up. UnderseaDefog.com. Check it out. All right, more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba.
surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio, diver's consumer tip number 589. For the last time,
Wilma!
Tell your wife that sailfish are not a bargain.
Charge!
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the Rio Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And in the studio, we have Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. We're going to the dark side today, right, Nick?
We are indeed, Greg. I thought we'd talk about some night diving tips.
Night diving is pretty cool.
There's little else like it. It never ceases to amaze me how a sight you know intimately by day can totally transform at night.
And the critters that come out. I always wonder where they hide when the sun's out.
I know. They're probably hiding from divers like us.
Well, they're missing out. Good thing we're not afraid of the dark, right? I mean, night diving is a great way to dive, but like so many other types of diving, it does have special considerations that come with it, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
So why don't we start with gear? Surely there's something to consider there.
Well, for the most part, you'll need the same gear you use during the day, but if you're expecting to be colder after the sun goes down, you'll want to adjust your exposure protection accordingly. And of course, there's one piece of gear you'll want to add.
Unless you can see in the dark.
Which most of us can't. So plan to take some lights.
Wait, lights as in plural?
Lights as in plural. For starters, most divers attach a signal light to their tank or regulator yoke. This helps other divers to see and identify them underwater. Most folks use either a tank light or chem light stick for this purpose.
Is there a big difference between the two?
Not really. It's just that chemical light stick is a single-use item, whereas the battery-powered light you can use over and over again.
How about marker lights?
Marker lights, or strobe lights, are usually used to mark key navigation points like anchor lines or reference lines, or to mark entry and exit points. If you're diving with a charter operation or participating in a lead dive, the operation or dive leader usually sets these.
How about the dive lights each diver carries?
Each diver should have at least two dive lights with him. One to use as a primary, and one to have as a backup in case, well, the primary should fail.
What kind of dive light should you use?
Like every other piece of gear, there are multiple options available. Every diver will have a preference, and it's important to find the ones that work for you.
How about head-mounted versus handheld?
Again, that's a matter of preference, but one advantage the handheld light has is that they offer a great versatility in terms of positioning, and they're easy to control. This can be beneficial if you're new to night diving.
So aside from gear, what other safety considerations do you have to take into account when night diving?
I think orientation is the biggest one, but that covers a lot of ground. It's common practice not to dive a sight for the first time at night because even the most familiar sight will look different after sundown. Take extra time and care to orient yourself. Take note of marker lights so you know in which direction you're swimming from relative to your reference point. You may even take a compass heading so you have a general direction in case you get disoriented.
How about buoyancy control?
Even that's different at night, and you need to take special care to keep track of it. It's much easier to become disoriented at night because your field of vision is so much more limited. You have no peripheral vision. It's easy to lose track of your depth or where you are in relation to things like reefs, wrecks, and other things underwater, or even the surface. Keep an eye on your depth and where you are in relation to your surroundings.
Is there any particular etiquette to observe when night diving?
Yeah, I'd say that falls into two general areas, the first of which pertains to your dive light.
Rule number one, don't blind your buddy.
Absolutely. None of us can see very well when we have light shine directly in our eyes on land, and that's no different underwater.
It's amazing what a natural tendency it is to shine your light in someone's face, though.
Sure it is. A lot of your communication relies on facial expressions and reactions. But learning to use your light as a source and form of communication underwater is all part of learning to night dive.
How do you mean?
Well, for example, you can use your light to convey underwater signals like okay, or to get someone's attention, or to make a sign of distress. Similarly, when you get your buddy's attention and you want to follow up with a hand signal, shine your light down and convey the signal in the light's beam. It'll be easy to see, and your buddy will be able to see it.
You can also use your light if you get lost or separated, can't you?
You sure can. Sometimes, if you get separated from your buddy or group, it's hard to see them because of your own light. If that happens, hold your light against you. Don't turn it off. because it'll dim the light enough to allow you to see other lights in the water.
Does that really work?
It sure does.
Voice of experience.
Yep.
So what's the second area of etiquette?
Well, that one really pertains to the creatures you'll encounter. There are some truly amazing creatures that come out at night. But remember that unlike the creatures you see during the day, the natural light level is darkness. Your light is not natural. Try not to spook them too much.
And I'd say be careful not to blind them either.
Exactly. Remember that just as you are blinded when the light is shined in your eyes, so too are they. And in some cases, blinding them with a light or camera strobe can leave them vulnerable. So be aware and careful of that.
And this is where your buoyancy tip comes in again, because there's a lot of creatures that come out at night, aren't there?
You're absolutely right. And that makes bumping against a reef especially hazardous at night, both to you and the nocturnal creatures that inhabit it.
There's a lot to learn about night diving.
There is a lot to learn. And while we've covered some basic tips, it's definitely worth your time to take a specialty class to learn more about it. It's a fascinating and fantastic way to dive, but it's important to know what you're doing and how to do it right.
The world you come to know underwater can become a whole new world at night. But before you jump in to explore it, learn about the special considerations you need to know to stay safe. We know you're not afraid of the dark. Just make sure you know how to traverse it. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
All right, so Crockett is dialed up 888-88-SCUBA. What is this, Crockett? You have a question about the photos from the Maldives that we just posted at scubaradio.com? Is that what I'm seeing here on my notes, or what?
No, well, kind of, sort of. Mostly a comment. It's some really cool pictures on here that GoPro took.
Yeah, well, thank you.
And also, I like the ones in particular towards the tail end of what you posted that showed the light.
Tail end?
Yeah. Particular ones, Pup Morris is up in the upper left-hand corner with the two mermaids.
Yes.
And then the white sandy beach trailing off the three quarters of it down to the bottom. That was that's pretty much a picture postcard.
Yeah. Well, and actually, that's what we hope to make those pictures into, is some postcards and some promo material for the show, some banners and things like that that we hope to do for the show. But yeah, that was a nice little island, you know, spit of sand that they dumped us off on in the Maldives the last day or so we could do these pictures with the mermaids and stuff, and it was just beautiful. I mean, that picture, I mean, there was no airbrushing or anything going on there at all. That's just the pictures you get. When you go to the Maldives.
Well, Greg, they can't airbrush you, so.
Well, true. I noticed he said, I like the pictures of the scuba cowboy and the mermaids.
That picture.
No, there's some of just him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and, he likes those pictures, not the ones with you in it.
Exactly.
I understand.
So at least he's honest, and that's fair enough.
It's mostly the mermaids, though. Papa's in there, but it's still the mermaids.
Okay, still, he just wants to clarify. He doesn't like Pup either.
What did you think about the pictures of the...
That's okay.
So, Craig, what did you think about the pictures of the two mermaids on the beach with the sun behind them?
Yeah, silhouette thing going on there.
The silhouette shot?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool, too. I like that one.
Yeah, well, see, that was just... that was artistic genius on my hat, on my behalf. Matter of fact... when we shot those, Lizzie and Tiffany were not very happy. You couldn't tell
by
looking.
They were sober.
They were. That was one of the problems, maybe. But they were like, "Craig, what are you doing?" I'd like just face you, eat each other, look at each other. Oh no, we're not doing that, you pervert. And I'm like, no,
they couldn't have just found out on that spit of sand that you are.
No, this is actually
dirty,
on the boat.
Old and a man.
This is on the boat. This is on the sand.
All right.
It wasn't on the sand, those shots. By then, they had given up fighting me. But no, we did these silhouette shots on the bow of the Carpe Vita liveaboard.
Okay.
And I was using the sun as a backdrop to get some silhouettes. But when you're taking the pictures, you know, the girls can't really see what I'm capturing in the camera. And they think, you know, where are you putting this camera? You're focused in on an area where we don't really want a spotlight. Greg! Quit being a perv! And I'm like, it's not like that. I'm telling you. And see, the proof is in the pudding. So the silhouettes turned out right, you know, nice and artistic, you know. So I do. I have a vision that I go for when I'm trying to do these pictures sometimes. But they, at the time, I got to tell you, they were complaining.
Were displeased.
Yeah, they were not happy. They weren't comfortable. They were in an awkward position. Their hips hurt. It was one of the comments. I don't know. Maybe we'll talk to Lizzie.
You know what? I think I'm going to need to look more at these photos where you've put them into a position where it is awkward, uncomfortable, and it made their hips hurt.
Yes. Well, that's just what I do. You know? And, it's anything for the shot.
Check out the photos at scubaradio.com. Holy cow.
Yeah. All right. So my prescription dive mask.
Yes.
This is the first time that I actually had put this thing to the test. And I got to say, it made all the difference in the world. I loved it. I got a few comments from the younger kids going, Greg, you're in bifocal diamond. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like you young.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Deborah Hill. A lot of people call me the Scuba Shrink or Dr. Debbie. I am a psychiatrist and an extreme diver, and I love the sea like all of you. You're listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. And now, here's Craig, the dive master, someone I'd certify as, absolutely nuts. But you know what? I love nuts.
Yeah, you know, I saw her out on the left coast at the scuba show a few years ago. Had a session. And who knows? Next week we're going to be out there celebrating once again for the scuba show in Long Beach, and maybe we'll see you there. And it is, I'm overdue, I think, for another session with the scuba doc. We'll have to see how that unfolds. But tune in 2 weeks from today, where I actually air a broadcast that we do there from the scuba show in Long Beach, California. All right, mermaids, do they exist? Are they real? You know, Animal Planet revisited their big mockumentary this week. You probably saw this with every other person on the planet. They aired something live on the Animal Planet this week and saying that they have new evidence that, you know, mermaids really exist. We're going to get into that in a little bit. But, you know, here at Scuba Radio, we know they do. We have our own mermaids. We've kind of cultivated our own pod. And we had a couple of them in the Maldives. So I have plenty of witnesses that have seen plenty of mermaids. And we have one of them on the phone with us right now, Mermaid Lizzie, fresh from the Maldives. How are you, Lizzie?
Hey, Greg. How's it going?
Great. So you had a good time, right, in the Maldives?
I had a great time.
Yes. And well, I don't know, the highlight was the whale sharks. We kind of talked about that last week. You still kind of holding true to that feeling, or what do you think?
Also, just being back, I realized how cool it was to just be somewhere so beautiful and, like, be able to do some of the best diving ever at any given time. So that, overall, I think was the best part.
Yes.
What about all the scenic mountains you saw in the Maldives?
Mountains? No. Underwater, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, the highest elevation in the Maldives is 3 feet above sea level.
Yeah, most of the stuff we saw was probably 30 feet below sea level. But, yeah, it's pretty flat over there. But yeah, it's good. You know, the water was perfect conditions as far as temperature. Even Lizzie, who gets cold easily, was able to maintain without a wetsuit at times. Right, Lizzie?
Yeah.
Yeah, even though I saw her bubble up a couple times, you know, get the goosebumps going. Because I'd say, I don't know, what did your computer say? 83, 84 maybe? Was it that warm?
I mean, from the night dive we did to the ones that were a little shallower, it was anywhere from like 81 to 85.
Yeah.
So I was prepared, though. I brought the wetsuit.
Yeah, she had a wetsuit when she needed it.
Did you bring a hood? I always dive with a hood on liveaboards.
I feel like I needed one.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't want to. She wouldn't want to cover up like that for all the photos. I mean, Lizzie is a she's a underwater model, so she
the
has
more
to,
of me I cover, the better I look.
Yeah, but you know, you cover up cover up the girls, you don't know if you're taking a picture of a girl or a guy. That doesn't work for the underwater photos we're trying to take.
Maybe your eyes are older than I thought. I can almost always tell.
No, with my new prescription dive mask, I was able to see perfectly clearly. It was great. Now, have your
Is that seeing perfectly clearly or seeing and leering perfectly clearly?
It doesn't really matter. Which leads us to the next question. Lizzie, have your hips healed?
My hips, they have.
Yes.
It was really only momentarily uncomfortable, but I was whining quite a bit.
Well, the girls were in an awkward position. It hurt.
Hold on. Stop.
What?
Just stop.
No, it was for the photo shoot at the bow, on the bow of the Carpi Vita.
Okay.
The pictures are...
Bill I can see where that was going.
Bill is just terrible. I don't know what to do with him sometimes, Lizzie. That's why we don't allow him out of the studio. You hear what I'm saying? He's been locked up for the last 2 weeks in a 10-by-10 room with no windows.
Just so I understand this perfectly clearly, riding on the elephant didn't damage your hips, but posing for pictures on the bow of the Carpe Vita liveaboard did.
Well,
yes, because... We were positioned on our side. Like, your hips are meant to sit on things, but...
You know, I told you
really
to stop already.
Yes.
So straddling a gigantic elephant was not a problem for you, is what you're saying to me.
Oh, wow. Well, no, I mean, you know, when it comes to elephants and you have to straddle an elephant, I mean, the mermaids, they're flexible. They're okay. But when you get them on their hips and they're posing awkwardly on the... on the hard wood of a liveaboard dive boat, it's not very comfortable. But you know, they sold it anyway. You wouldn't tell you couldn't
tell
that from looking at the picture.
If you didn't tell me, I would have thought you were as comfortable as two out of the water mermaids could possibly have been.
Yes.
Well, that's good. That's how we were trying to look.
That's right. They sold it, and that's all that mattered. And everybody
enjoyed. Photoshop. I think you just replaced smiles from other pictures.
No.
That would be too much work for Greg.
This is true. I just basically didn't post those pictures. Because I had plenty of pictures where they were making kind of a face like, Greg, I hate you! You know, that kind of thing. But we just eliminate those from the portfolio.
And that makes it a lot easier because you've taken 90% of the photos out of the way. That's excellent.
Yeah, no. Wasn't that many. We got a lot of great shots. It matters. But we got more adventures to come. You know, we're going to get Lizzie underwater and have her do some more underwater mermaid stuff here in the future.
Clearly the things that you have her do will not be injurious to her hips.
Well, they won't, because she'll be weightless underwater, and they won't have that problem.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, so we'll do that, and, you know, we'll have some fun with it. It'll be good. But she did a good job, had some great dives. Whether it's whale sharks or just the conditions overall, it's good stuff. Right, Lizzie?
Oh, yeah.
You'd give it two fins up or two mermaid tails up, whatever it takes.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, heck yeah. All right, there you go.
When are we going back?
Well, your connection's gone. I lost her. No,
it's AM radio. We just went under a bridge. Sorry.
Yeah, no,
what did you
say? We're gonna go back soon. I think they're actually gonna have us back again in the Maldives. But look, we got hour two of Scuba Radio on deck. Mermaids, are they real? Well, we just had one on the phone, so surely that's the truth. But we'll delve into that. And inner space going on in Grand Cayman in hour two. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.